Welcome to the second episode of 2024 of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. Wow, you are in such a good mood.
I think I'm going to do that every single time until I can stop. Like two, three, four, five.
Or six. We'll see.
Six.
Oh my gosh, can I tell you something? So
what?
This is a fun fact. You already know this fact. But I say the word sixth, like, you know, one, yeah. Two, or first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, incorrectly. I've done it my entire life. What is, how do you actually say it?
Sixth. Sixth.
Sixth. Why can't
sixth?
I,
sixth.
Sixth.
Why so can't you say that?
For some reason, I can't say it. And I said it again sixth. Last night when I was talking to New York boy.
Yeah.
He was like,
what? Sixth. He's like, what the?
DT said what? DT said what? Because a New York boy and I got into a fight. And I told Deep T, I'm not going to talk to this guy anymore. And so yeah. That's why.
I was like, shook
it. I am drooling right now.
Why are you drooling?
Like, what? Because you were like, what? And I know you were like trying really... to, and I know you were trying to cover for me. Like trying to be like, oh, let me just like not give any indication.
I was like, oh.
But thank you. I appreciate it.
Anything for you, Natty. Sixth.
So to, I haven't told Deep D this, but New York boy and I have been fighting, but we spoke last night. I will share the entire story with you guys in like probably a few episodes, but like things happen like going down. But anyways, this episode isn't about dating. However, okay, I said the word sixth. Sixth, I said it.
Sixth. No, it's sixth. Like sixth. Okay.
I said that word and he was like, do you know you say it wrong?
Oh my God. And you're like, thank you.
I was like, no. I was like, I know I do, but I thought I was saying it right. Like I used to say it really wrong. I used to say like sis. And I was like, I thought and I thought I had now been saying it right, like saying six. And he goes, no, it's sixtha. Like however the other people
sixth-a.
Say it.
What teacher effed you up?
I don't know, but I have been saying it wrong since like if I could really remember when someone told me. Actually, I think I've been saying it wrong my entire life. Like when I learned that word, but someone told me in high school that I was, they're saying it wrong.
Something's off.
And then I remember telling my sister, am I saying this wrong? And she's like, yeah, but we just assumed he had a lisp, like for that specific word. So we're like, whatever.
That's cute
but
though. It's
I can't
quirk.
Figure out how to say it. It's like my mouth won't let me say sixtha.
Sixtha. Sixth.
Sixtha.
Sixth. Yeah. Okay. We're gonna sixth. Work on that. We're gonna work on
why
that.
Why can't I say it? Sixth. Wait, hold
sixth.
On. Sixth.
Oh. That was like a really hard one for you.
Sixth. Sixth.
I can't. We literally have to take a shot every time.
I know.
Sixth.
But okay, moving on. Anyways, I say that word wrong. But going back into it, it has been a big news week for Love is Blind.
This is absolutely so big of what is happening in our Love is Blind world. But let me just like set the stage for everyone. If you haven't heard by now, according to an article by Variety, Renee Poche, if you guys remember her, we had her on the podcast. So go listen to that episode for all the full details. But Renee Poche is a cast member from season 5 whose storyline was completely cut from the show. And she is suing Kinetic Content and Netflix after being penalized $4 million for violating her non-disclosure agreement by publicly discussing her experience on the show. The lawsuit is seeking to nullify her contract and is claiming intentional infliction of emotional distress. She has Hollywood powerhouse lawyers Brian Friedman and Mark Garagos. Mark Garagos. Who are leading this case. We had to look up the pronunciation of that last name. That one was a tough one.
So I've heard of Brian Friedman. Like, it is really amazing that he is repping Renee in this, because he has repped some really big stars. Like, he has repped Chris Harrison, who was formerly the host of the Bachelor franchise, Gabrielle Union, Mariah Carey, Diplo, like really, really big stars. Ooh. So I do think that she really has a case here, considering that he is taking it on. But what do you think about all of this? I mean, I just have some thoughts. Like, what do you think about that 4 million penalty from Kinetic Content?
I thought was wild. It's crazy. We both know that it's literally a scare tactic to kind of get her to stop spilling all of the details about her experience on the show. Clearly, you can, it's evident that that's the case, especially when she's like a vet. There's no chance she has $4 million. So it's obviously 100% to scare the shit out of her. And I think that's so fucked up.
I agree. I think the fact that it's $4 million, they know she will never be able to pay that.
Exactly.
I agree with you. I think it's a scare tactic.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing comments somewhere about this story. I think it was on like a US Weekly post or something. Like, you know, those Instagram posts from publications or media networks. They were talking about the story and someone commented, they must be penalizing her for $4 million because they know she's going to lose, or they know she is lying. And I was like, I don't think that's the case, because there is a history of large corporations, large companies, large entities who bully people with these types of fines that they know will scare people who don't have the money. Like, there is a history of that in the US. So I don't, that $4 million to me just shows how greedy more so Kinetic Content is.
It's literally just about making a case for her so that like other people follow suit. You know what I mean? It's kind of like making an example out of her, essentially. But we've seen it in Bachelor Nation before, where, you know, someone will say something about production and they get penalized and fined for such a big like amount. And it's essentially to make them an example and make sure that people align with not, you know, speaking out against production. It's so bad.
I actually do think that they're making Renee an example, because it's interesting that they're penalizing Renee, but they did not penalize Uche, who's been very vocal about his experience with production and talked about where things were edited on his season. And then also Nick and Danielle, as far as I know, they have not been penalized by Kinetic Content or Netflix.
You know, that's interesting, because why do you think that that's the case? Because I have a theory.
Okay, so my theory is that because Renee wasn't a main cast member, like she didn't have much screen time on her season. Like, there was maybe like 2 seconds of her presence. I feel like they feel like they can make her an example because of that. I think Nick and Danielle have larger platforms. Uche, even though he may not have many followers, he, you know, people know who he is from season 5.
Do you remember when Renee came on our podcast and she spoke about her alleged experience on the show? I think that like kind of just like opened up our eyes to how traumatic of an experience that she had. And I'm like actually really proud of her for countersuing, honestly, because I think if it were you and me, like, what would we do? I have no idea. Like, I would just be so terrified. I'd just be like, oh my gosh, like, I'm out, you know?
I don't know, you know, because it does take a lot of energy and a lot of money to countersue. You know, obviously, when a big production company like Kinetic Content does it, it's not that big of a deal, aside from it really hurts like the reputation of the Love is Blind franchise and their personal reputation as a company. But to be one person going through all of that, that's a lot of like stress that I would have to weigh, like, is it worth it? But I am very proud of Renee, and also people like Tran Dang, who has who also has her own lawsuit against Kinetic Content that we've talked about. There's, you know, the sexual assault allegations, and that's what that her lawsuit is about. But I don't know. I just get it's a huge lift when it's coming from an individual.
Natalie, do you remember when we first started talking about our intentions to start freezing our eggs a couple of episodes ago?
Mm-hmm. One thing that Friedman told another publication Deadline is, quote, "These agreements are being used as swords to threaten people to keep them silent and also as shields to hide their illegality behind a signature and an attitude of saying, well, you signed it," end quote. I thought that was really interesting because I do agree. Like, if you think about our contracts that we signed for Love is Blind, it's kind of crazy. Like, I won't go into like the full details, but there is a lot of like a lot of things they say we can't do. And I also mm-hmm. remember reading it and being like, is this legal? Like, is this legal?
See, I never had the question, is it legal? But I was like, you know what? I guess they have the right to, you know, create a contract in whatever terms they seem necessary, right? But I remember when I was about to sign the contract and literally my entire family sat down and we projected the contract. We read it page by page and I almost did not sign it because I was like, there's so much left for up for interpretation. Like, there's just like blurred lines. And I was like, oh my gosh, I will literally have no control. But at the same time, I was like, this is such a cool opportunity. And like, yeah. And I was like, why not just do it? Because I don't think any of these things would happen, you know?
I agree. When I was thinking about the worst case scenario reading the contract, it's hard to think about the worst case scenario. You're like, what is really the worst thing that can happen? It's like signing a job contract or like when you sign your job offer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you think to yourself, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah.
When I signed my job offer with EY, when I made the shift from HR into management consulting, I knew nothing about management consulting. I knew nothing about EY. But the thing is, you take the chance because you're like, well, what's the worst that can happen? Like, this is a very known company. It's not like they're going to screw mm-hmm. me over. But then you hear at companies, like, I'm not talking about EY, but in general, like things like sexual assault happens. Like, there's, mm-hmm. you know, like companies do illegal things too. But those are things you just don't expect. Just like we wouldn't, when we signed our contracts for Love is Blind with Kinetic Content, or with Delirium TV, I mean, which I think is a subsidiary of Kinetic Content, but I'm not sure. You know, you don't think that like all these types of manipulation can happen or even like these allegations of sexual assault. Your mind just doesn't go there when you sign this contract because it's like signing a job offer. You're like, no, big company, they'll take care of me. Like, of course they won't do anything crazy because I've never seen something like that in the news. They're like a well-known company. Like, why would they ever take that risk? But then you get in it and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. And especially with Love is Blind being such a big TV show, you don't expect it because you're like, obviously, they're never going to do you wrong like that. But you're totally right about the job analogy. I love that you mentioned that because it just proves to you that like work culture is so important. And I feel like the environment that we were working in was not good. Because it's just not like reality TV. There's a reason why reality TV is like kind of crumbling a little bit right now because participants are speaking out about their experiences. And it's a lot of the time a little bit traumatizing.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy how I'm just proud of her. I'm truly just really proud of her for standing up. And weirdly, like, I know that You Can has been backing her up. And I think that that's like, I'm glad that she has that support.
I agree. I very much agree. Yeah. Going back to what Friedman said about the agreements, though, like how they're mm-hmm. being used as swords to threaten people to keep them silent, I really do think that that's what those contracts are for, like the ones that we sign. And I don't think it's okay. Like, if a production company isn't doing something wrong, why are they keeping people from talking about their full experiences?
Yes. And why are they keeping people? Yeah. Why is there like a fine to leave?
Yeah. Why is there a fine to leave if Chris Colan, the creator of the show, says that people can leave whenever they want? Then why is that $50,000 fine there?
Exactly. Exactly. It's literally the contract is literally set up to make sure that you will never step out of line. it's literally every part of it is like a scare tactic, you know? And yeah, it's, I'm glad that the article came out. I'm glad the lawyers have said, like, this is essentially an illegal contract. And I was like, thank God someone's saying something about it for future participants.
I'd hope that it makes changes.
Do you really think that they're going to make changes, though?
I hope that this does lead to like a broader effort to amend these sorts of contracts, because they are really scary to sign. I think it always goes back to like people saying, well, you signed it, like you shouldn't have signed it. But again, it goes back to like, you watch these shows, and if you don't know how they're made behind the scenes, you think, really, what is the worst that can happen? Like, truly.
Reality Ashley, I think we've talked about her multiple times on this show, but Reality Ashley posted on her Instagram about the story where she mentions that she heard Renee was allegedly going to film Perfect Match season 2. And I thought that was kind of wild, because I'm like, is it relevant? Like, what did you think about that?
I think it was relevant for Reality Ashley, because I felt like this was implying that like Renee may be exaggerating or lying, because why would she want to do another show produced by Kinetic Content and Netflix if she is, you know, alleging she went through, you know, like things like imprisonment or, you know, was put in unsafe situations. I actually understand why she included the fact that Renee allegedly agreed to film Perfect Match season 2. She is not on Perfect Match season 2, that we can confirm. But I don't think that because Renee wanted to film Perfect Match season 2, if it's true, like that is that means that she is exaggerating or lying.
I agree. I think like it, from my perspective, the reason why I want to say that it's not relevant whatsoever is because sometimes after you've gone through something really difficult, you kind of suppress that emotion or you suppress that like experience because you're trying to just deal with it. And so when you're moving on in life, you kind of sit down and you reflect back. And sometimes it can take years for this to happen. That's why people as adults go to therapy and they try to heal their childhood trauma. So it's just like that. It's like we're trying to process things. And so, I mean, like we tend to just move on. And if the opportunities are presented to us, obviously we're like, okay, should we take it or not? But I feel like sometimes participants don't even realize that they were wronged until they hear other people talking about it. Specifically, I think UCAN was a huge part of that too, is because like Nick Thompson and Jeremy came out with like a lot of allegations, obviously. And so I feel like there's strength in numbers. So when you hear about other people's like experiences and them recanting it, I feel like it makes you like think about what you went through and realize that it's not okay.
Yeah, I have also like a, I think an additional take on that. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's separate. Like I think about our experience, right? I had like, I did not enjoy my filming experience. I felt like there was things that happened that was very manipulative. I look very low on Kinetic Content. I love Netflix though, I'm not gonna lie. But I think that Kinetic Content really, because you're kind of leading people to get married, and you're also casting very, for the most part, very normal people, who
average people,
like that type of thing, in terms of like personality, their willingness to be part of the drama, I think that there is a level of higher manipulation compared to other shows. That's just based on what I've heard from other people, from other dating shows, other production companies, etc. Even though I had a shitty experience, did I take advantage of all the really cool opportunities that was handed to me when our show came out? Like the fact that I was able to go to all these Netflix events, that, you know, I was able to be part of all these panels that were led by Netflix. Yes, because in my mind, and then on top of that, like I considered Perfect Match season 1 and season 2.
Yeah, I remember.
I for me, it was a way of like, how do I like take control of what I went through? I went through a really shitty experience filming, but how do I make it all worth it by going to these really cool opportunities? And also, mm-hmm. like, I went through this really shitty experience with Kinetic Content, but maybe this next show will be different because even though it's the same production company, different producers. And yeah. now I'm smarter and better. And now I could, like, you know, go through this experience and have this once in a lifetime experience, but I'm smarter to not be taken advantage of.
Yeah. And not to mention also, like, with Perfect Match and, like, the whole situation with Renee wanting to do Perfect Match, I feel like a lot of the, how do I put, I don't want to say abuse because that's not the word, but a lot of, like, the challenges that Renee is dealing with Kinetic Content happened right before the show was supposed to air. So I feel like she chalked it up to, oh, I just had a bad fiance and that's why all this shit happened to me. But it's literally how they treated her in the aftermath when the show was about to air. That's, I think, where it really, like, she was like, oh my gosh, like, taken aback. Like, I cannot believe this is happening to me. And so, and I'm Perfect Match, like, the potential to be on Perfect Match happened way before that. She realized, like, it's him that's the problem. It's not Kinetic, essentially. So she was okay with doing Perfect Match until right before the show aired, when they literally were, like, trying to silence her. And that's when she was like, oh my gosh, the problem is him plus this production company. They're literally ruining my life. And so I think, like, it kind of all snowballed later and not just, like, right after filming had ended, you know? But it's just, it's a lot.
Do you think that these types of lawsuits, like this one, the sexual assault claims, the food and sleep deprivation claims, the lawsuits that are led by Jeremy Hartwell and Tran Dang, do you think that this will lead to the end of the Love is Blind franchise?
Oh, that is a great question. I don't think that it's going to be the end of it. I think there's going to be fines to be paid. I think there's going to be, obviously, they're going to have to, I don't know. I feel like there's a settlement coming. I don't know what's going to happen, but I really truly think that this franchise is so big and there's so many seasons that have been filmed that they will find a way to continue airing that, because ultimately, I feel like a lot of the time, headlines, all these, like, bad things kind of, like, subside. Like, within 5 years, I feel like if things go better and they make changes, all of the stuff will just, like, fall out and people will forget. Truly.
Yeah. I was going to say the news cycle is so fast. Like, mm-hmm. you know, people remember the lawsuit, rampant. And then, you know, they start talking about how great, like, one season of the show was. And then, you know, mm-hmm. more news about a lawsuit comes through. And then, you know, people are focused on the actual show. And so I think that, like, a lot of these claims and allegations and lawsuits will be forgotten. I don't think, I agree with you. I don't think it will lead to the end of the Love is Blind franchise. I think that,
sadly, no.
If Kinetic, if it does, if anything, the worst case scenario, it'll lead to the end of Kinetic Content. Like, they will no longer be able to produce Love is Blind. I think that's a worst case scenario. Oh, well, I guess best case for many.
Technically,
like, depends
best
on who
case,
you ask.
Yeah.
Like, I think the worst case scenario for Kinetic Content and Netflix is that Love is Blind will stop being produced by Kinetic Content, considering a mm-hmm. lot of what's happening is around that production company. I think a new production company would take up producing Love is Blind. And that would be, like, the solution for what is happening.
That means that Kinetic or Delirium TV would have to let go of they would have to sign over their rights for the show, essentially.
But I think,
because do they own it?
I think
to Netflix.
I think Netflix actually owns the right to Love is Blind, like the name and everything.
I thought the opposite way. I thought that Kinetic and Delirium sold the show to Netflix, and they still have the rights.
That means that Netflix owns it, right?
Just to sell the show being on their platform only, but not the right. Who knows, though? I don't know the legalities of the situation.
Know.
Yeah, it's interesting how it will, like, go about, though. I do have to say one thing, though. I think, like, when I first heard about all the allegations that Nick and Danielle put out there, and just, like, it started small, and I was just like, oh, this is interesting. Like, I didn't really think that big much of it. And then when
their experiences were different. like at the buffet. Like
it was so different.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm thinking about it.
Very different experiences.
Yeah. And like now that I'm like looking at the news and everything, I feel like there's people not just from Love is Blind now, like Married at First Sight. There is a reason why the foundation is crumbling and like a change has to be made for sure. That's like so evident.
Yeah. I mean, we'll keep you guys updated how this story progresses. I'm curious if there's going to be more updates. I'm very curious if this will have any impact on Love is Blind season 6 coming out February 14th. Though my personal opinion is that it won't. I think people are going to forget about this in a month when season 6 comes out. But we'll see how transparent the season 6 cast is. Like, I'm curious if they will start talking, because I feel like with what has been said by people on our season, some people on season 3, if you really do your digging, I think season 4, they're a very quiet, they follow the rules. I feel like they very much are, I wouldn't say up Kinetic's butt, but I think they're more like, I don't want to be part of this drama. But, and then season 5 is talking, but I wonder if what type of cast season 6 will be.
Mm-hmm.
Will they,
and truly, I feel like,
or keep
it? Yeah, but truly, when you have fresh blood, I feel like it's just like nerve-wracking, because you remember when we were in that state, we were like, oh my God, like there's so many things going on and you just don't want to step out of line, because you're like, there is a contract in place, there's an NDA in place, there's like so much going on.
And you're constantly reminded.
They will remind you. Yeah, yes, exactly.
100%. Yes. I know season 6 is being told the same things.
Yeah. Yeah, with especially right now with everything that's going on in the media, I feel like they have so many stricter rules for them and they're keeping them on a leash, you know? They're like, if you want to be aired.
One thing I did hear, this is some tea for you guys. They're not allowed to talk to past cast members. Like, because I will say, I think that's how like future season cast members get smarter, is they'll reach out to past cast members.
Mm-hmm.
Less about us. I have a feeling they're probably like season 6 people are probably reaching out to season 5 people. Just like how season 5 people reach out
because it's new,
4 people, and so on. But I've heard that like Kinetic content is like telling season 6 cast members, like, you better not talk to alumni.
So on February 14th. Natalie, so on February 14th, you're saying we can't reach out to them and have them come on the podcast. They're going to be like, no.
They're not going to get any advice. But I was like, look, I was like, the smartest thing you can do if you were on Love is Blind is reach out to a former cast member. Like, no one is ever going to like tattle on you or say no. I mean, I would do the same. It's like you're doing your research and preparing yourself. Like, why wouldn't you? But I thought that was kind of crazy that they're like kind of putting out these boundaries. I've also heard that they've been telling future cast members, like, we won't give you opportunities if you, you know, step out of line type of thing. So I think they're just getting really, really strict.
That's like really fucked up. It's such a, there's so much manipulation. And I feel like even me like going through, I feel like I had a positive experience. I think like there was moments where I didn't realize it was manipulation, but it 100% was. It's like, I mean, thankfully, I just didn't have. Why are some of these like newer cast members making Shake look so good? You know, I'm like, thank God I had Shake. Like, he wasn't that bad. You know, but wow, that's it's crazy. We'll see what happens, though. I'm like, I'm excited for change to happen, and I feel like thank God for people actually speaking out and doing something about it. Okay, Natalie. In other drama related news, there's a lot going on. There's something in the air in 2024 already. Have you watched The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City?
No, that is the one franchise, or that is the one city of Real Housewives that I don't watch.
Oh my God, you're missing out, because it is probably my favorite. My favorite.
Really?
Because first of all, there's a lot of like Mormons. There's just a lot going on. There's like a lot of layers to these ladies. But I wanted to tell you about this one significant thing that happened in the finale. Oh my gosh. Okay. So obviously there is.
This better be so good, because you're so excited to tell me. And
I literally went immediately. I immediately went to like Instagram. I was like, what is happening? But anyways, okay. So there's this girl named Monica on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. She is new this year and she's been like really crazy about like just saying a lot of like random rumors all season. And everyone's like, what the, what is happening? Mm-hmm. So essentially Heather Gay, she's been on the show since season one of Salt Lake City. And essentially she pulls all of the housewives together except for Monica. And she's like, I have something to tell you guys. And she drops this bombshell that Monica is actually this Instagram troll account called Reality Von Tees. And ooh, this Instagram account, Reality Von Tees, apparently has been like outing Jen Shaw and all of the bad behaviors that she's like done over the past whatever time. And for those who don't know about this show, Jen Shaw is also from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, but she went to prison for defrauding elderly people. So it's like the worst crime you can ever commit. Like it's horrible.
Yeah, that's like, so bad. So and bad. I've heard about Jen Shaw too.
Yeah, she's huge. I think back in the day, I just never watched that franchise either until recently.
But is it a bad thing that if Monica is Reality Von Tees, which it sounds like she is, like that was confirmed.
There's other people involved, she said. But yes.
Interesting. Okay, why is it bad that she exposed Jen Shaw? Like, isn't that a good thing? Oh. Because I feel like Jen Shaw, I did hear that she defrauded elderly people.
Yes. So to your point, it is a good thing. And that's what Monica stands behind, that she's like, I would do it again because she's the worst human in the world. And she had to be sent to jail. So she like does it. But then she goes, but talking about all of you guys was just like a
She talked about the other housewives.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So that's why Heather got so pissed. And she was like, you have been trolling us online. Like there's moments we woke up scared and like just feared for our lives just because like all this information's being exposed and it was you all along. And like it was such an like that episode. That finale will go down in history as one of the best episodes of Real Housewives. It was so good. Good. You need to watch it.
A few questions. When the way that that episode was edited, did Monica come off as in the wrong? Like she was the villain?
Oh, yeah. Because Heather was like literally accusing her. And the entire time at dinner, she was like, I am not Reality Von Tees.
Oh, she
and she's like, it's not me. And then after a little while, she goes, well, it's not I'm not entirely Reality Von Tees. And she like exposed herself at dinner. Monica was like, there's other people involved behind the account, though. And one of those people that was involved was Heather's hairstylist.
So that is so bad.
So right now in the Instagram universe, they're just like, everyone's like spewing out so much information right now. So there's the reunion's going to be really good. But my question to you would be, how wild would it be if you were on a reoccurring reality TV show and one of your cast members is a mole essentially and is like trolling you?
Is like talking shit about you.
For a profit to the blogs. Oh, I would literally lose my mind.
That would cause like a bunch of mistrust. I honestly think that that's really shitty. Like, can you imagine that you have this account that talks like really negatively about people around you and you can't say it to their face and you still surround yourselves with those people? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because like
huge manipulation, but it's kind of funny, but it's still like that's something like a bad person would do. Like, it's not... It's like
truly though, the internet is very divided though, because they're like, thank God for Monica because she brought the drama this season and she exposed Jen Shaw. And, you know, I don't know. It's just so interesting how
we had that.
What do you mean?
We had a mole in the friend group, remember? Well, I wouldn't call it a mole in the friend group, but a mole part of the broader cast.
Okay. Explain this to me. What is...
Let me jog your memory, Miss Dora.
Please, because here, I'm like, I don't know. There's so much that happens. I don't remember a lot of things.
Okay. I'm not sure if I have a really good memory or you weren't sitting around for this, but I think you were. There was that situation where Danielle and Nick's divorce was leaked to the news.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And Danielle was very sure it was someone from our broader cast, like one of the men.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were discussing this, and we're like, actually, wait, it actually might be
yes.
one of these men who leaked it to a news outlet because no. he had, I guess, like a connection to like someone who worked
to something. Outlet.
Yeah. And see, I remember that's it like rock, kind of not rocking our world, but we're like, what the heck? Like,
yeah. Wow. I think I remember that now. Now that I think about it, I was like, oh, yes. I actually do remember when that happened. I feel like it's just like such a distant memory that I completely forgot about it. And it didn't happen to me. So I was just like, oh, it's not like in the forefront of my mind. But yes, I do remember that. And that's what the scariest fucking part is like, keep your friend circle super close, especially when it comes to media or like, you know, I don't know. Fame is kind of like a drug and people will do fucking anything for it sometimes. And it's like, I don't know. Everyone's values are so different. And I'm like, don't trust a hoe out here. You can't trust a hoe. You really can't.
Well,
I'm not talking about anyone in specific, but like, don't trust people. Like,
well, and then there was that other situation too with yes. that involved me. This one kind of like shook me a little bit. And I felt like I felt so uncomfortable with just like, talking to the women at a point, but I have a good idea of who it was, so now I'm like, whatever. But there was a TikTok made by Zachary Reality. It was when the first drop of episodes came out for our season, and he made a TikTok. And the only reason I knew about this TikTok, I actually stayed off TikTok a lot during our season, like really looking at what people were saying about our season type of thing. I just kind of focused on posting like on my TikTok. Anyway. But so many people sent me this TikTok where he says, I heard that the women on the cast think that like Natalie's getting a way better edit than she deserves or something like that. And
the women on the cast.
But I think I know who it was. Like I'm like a 99.9% sure.
Yeah. And that's the sad part about it is I think I often think about how different people are after the show airs versus how it was before, because there's so many other factors added on to all of it. And even in this situation, like, I'm just like, holy shit, like this woman, it's a little bit different of a reality show because obviously it's like friendships are being built and like, you're talking about your kids and your family and like, they were there like for the Real Housewives situation, they were there celebrating Monica's birthday and all of the women were there and like they were helping her, like, because she was like, oh, I've never had a birthday like this before. Like, I'm, you know, thank you so much. And then behind the scenes, like she's someone completely different. And you're like,
and like talking shit about them.
Talking shit about them. But you know what's even more fucked up, Natalie? Because you just reminded me when you said the whole Zachary Reality situation. Monica said, she's like, you guys should not say much because you guys have responded and talked to me using Reality Vontees. So you don't want to you don't want me to out you.
Oh, like they've individually messaged Reality Vontees.
Messaged
not
her.
Knowing it was Monica. Ooh.
Exactly.
Ooh,
so she's like, shh, people. And I'm like, ooh, man, sometimes the best entertainment is what comes post show.
No, literally
on the internet.
Okay, I have more things that like based on what we went through that relates to this.
Yeah.
I know a cast member from our season. Ooh, this is so juicy. Well, I think you might know about this too, but I
know about this.
He or she, I won't like, you know, like expose to it. Created an Instagram, please. Or not an Instagram, a Reddit account, and was like shitting on all of us. Like, I don't
know. What a fucking loser. Anything,
but he would be like really shitting on us. And then his history was found because he would like defend himself and like shit on all of us.
Yes.
And then people are like, oh wait, God, you know, a lot of personal information.
Wow.
And they like called him out and then he deleted his Reddit account.
Oh my God. Okay. You said he, but anyways, oh, holy shit. Or she, Dude, that is like next level. Like, how gross of a person are you? Okay, but I'm not going to lie to you. I have a Finsta account, but that's because I need to like go and like watch people's lives or like not, you know what I mean? Like their Instagram live. Like, I don't want them to know that it's me.
How do you think I found out Jackie from season 4 was talking shit about us on an Instagram live? Through my Finsta, baby.
Let's go.
Lydia from season 5 should learn. I was like, if you're creeping on your exes or who he's hang out with, you always do it from a Finsta. I was like,
100%. Yes. Like you creep on your exes through your Finsta. Like,
but the worst is when you get confused. Like you think you're on your Finsta, but you're actually on your real Instagram.
That has never happened to me. I'm very careful.
Okay. I've done that. Oh, okay. Sorry. We are going everywhere. I don't know if this is normal behavior.
It's not because we're in reality TV land. That's why.
No, if this is not, I haven't even set the behavior yet.
I just know that it pertains to reality TV life.
No. Okay. I don't know if this is normal behavior, but I check up on my exes. Not often, but like I would say like once every few months.
I check up on them too sometimes, yeah.
One thing I will say is I don't check up on Shane's. That is one person's I don't. Because I don't know what happened, but I think he blocked me at one point and then I blocked him and then it caused my Finsta to be blocked too.
Oh, like, yeah, that's the worst.
My Finsta. But my other exes, like from like 2016, I have, or like 2018, like I don't have any feelings for them, but I like to check up, like, how's life going? Mm-hmm. And so I'll like click on their stories and stuff. And then, and like, these are men, like my exes, like, you know, like we're millennials. We only have like 300 followers. From that it's back time in the of day. Life where it's like 200 to 300 followers is the max you're going to get because no one really used Instagram. and you know, like when you post a story, like if you have like a small amount of followers, you're going to look at who looked at those stories. It's just like natural behavior.
Oh, 100%.
I don't do it now because we have like more followers. So it's like, who cares? I'm like, whatever.
It's hard to see.
Just like... But did this happen like in November? I creeped on him. I was like, oh, I wonder what he's like doing if he's on vacation with his girlfriend. Like, where did he?
I know exactly what ex you're talking about too. This bitch.
I creeped on all his stories, like, you know, like everything. I was like looking through, actually liked a photo, but I was like, whatever. I'm on my Finsta.
No, you were not on your Finsta.
No.
Natalie, that is criminal.
Because I went to go log out of what I thought was my Finsta and it was just my real Instagram. And I was
like,
what
how embarrassing.
I was like, what do I do? Like, what do
I have secondhand embarrassment for you right now. How'd it go?
I ended up just like,
are you tapping out the anxiety?
Yeah, like on my head. I was like, I ended up blocking him. I don't know where this is trying to go, but like, is it normal?
Like, you blocked him so he wouldn't see your notifications?
I just blocked him. I got like very like disheveled and like anxious. Anxious, and I was just like black. But I wonder if he got the notifications. Like I actually liked something, and I was like I liked something from 2019. Like this man had not posted since 2019, and I liked it.
Natalie, of course he got a notification, and he tried to click on you, and it said profile not found. And he's like, did she block me?
But can I tell you, like, it wasn't that I viewed all his stories, liked it, and then blocked him immediately. I didn't know I was on my real Instagram until like hours and hours later.
What do you mean? How?
Like, I went to creep on him, blah blah blah, and I was like, oh, that's it. And I put my phone down, and then I went to like, you know, go live.
Oh, and then you were on your real one,
and then I went back to open my phone, and then I'm like, blah blah blah, like I must be still on my Finsta, and I went to go creep on other people, like no one that's like notable, but I was like, you know, like
whatever,
you know. Then I went to try to log out.
I'm really embarrassed for you, but also this is a sign to whoever's listening, if you have a Finsta, make sure you're on your Finsta.
But what I will say is I feel like every reality TV show personality has a Finsta and definitely has the urge. And some of them have the urge to create a fake Reddit account or whatever account to like defend themselves. I feel like that. I would never because I'm nervous. I don't know how technology works enough to be like, can this all Like, what if all of a sudden, like, Reddit explodes and they're like, oh my God, everyone's like personal information shows like behind that anonymous username. Like, that is a fear of why I can't ever do it.
I doubt that would happen, but there is a way to track it through IP addresses. And
yeah,
let me tell
yeah,
you,
like that stuff.
We can.
So that's yeah. why like, on my PI I never it. Comment or anything that will ever like have someone be like, I wonder who this
exactly.
is.
Exactly. You know? The Finsta is not for liking things. It's not for commenting on things. It is purely to creep. It is purely to join Instagram lives, and that is it. Do not do anything 100%. Else with that. And
don't have I had the urge to like defend my friends or myself yes. with my Finsta? Yes. But the goal of a Finsta is to never be caught that it's your Finsta.
Never.
You just can't do it. But exactly. I go back to the Reddit account. I think it's so funny, but I also think was like, that is so fucked up. Like that is so
it's
fucked
so
up.
Fucked up. The Reddit thing is wild to me because first of all, as a fucking like somebody who has like a following or like people talk shit about them on Reddit, don't fucking go to Reddit and read that. If you have like, it just creates a bad mental space because every single person has shit on them. It is the devil's playground. Reddit is like, well, I will never go on that platform.
Look, I'm not.
You
lie.
Love Reddit.
I use Reddit for financial advice. That is how I learned. Like from, Reddit is how I
good for you
financially literate. Like where I learned to invest, how I managed my money. It was literally through reading Reddit threads, like Wall Street Bets, things like that.
Yeah.
But anyways, I just think it's okay. weird that a cast member was talking shit because I'm like, if you're gonna talk shit, own it. Like. Say it to my face or say it with your name attached to it. Don't
literally
really going to create a fake anonymous Reddit account to talk shit about me.
Also, like, that's just like such an insecure fucking thing to do. Like, and I've heard castmates, and I think you know who I'm talking about, have sent in like leaks about themselves that no one would fucking care to ever like even.
Yes, I know.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm like, no one gives a shit if you're with a random girl here. Like, what?
Yeah.
And he literally, what did he do? He exposed himself or he sent a picture of himself to this
Dumois.
Troll account. Dumois. That's
yeah,
what it was.
It's like
not a troll
an
account,
anonymous,
sorry.
Like, I don't know. It's
like celebrity sightings and whatever.
Yeah. Like where you could send anonymous like stories or things you've heard about other celebrities. Or like if you see like two celebrities, like you take a photo of them, you could like leak it to Dumois. It has, I think that account has like 1,000,000+ followers, but yeah.
Oh, so many. Who I'm talking about. Okay, so Dumois is kind of like, she's kind of like Gossip Girl, right?
Yeah.
A little bit. Can I tell you, at the end of the Salt Lake City finale, that's what they're calling Monica. Monica was like, even Gossip Girl had to get caught. Like, she said something along those lines. And I was like, this is iconic. Iconic. Like, it's look. So good.
But
she's funny.
I know what it feels like. I feel like when you've got, like, a mole around you, it's very
yeah, that's
weird.
Bullshit.
Betraying feeling, but that is
yeah.
really funny. Now I have to go watch it.
It's so good, Natalie. And then also we find out who punched Heather. It's Jen Shah. Dun dun dun. We knew. We absolutely knew it was her. I cannot believe that Heather got punched in the face by a castmate, and she states, this is why I want to get Heather on the podcast. Like, I absolutely love her. I'm going to read her book, Bad Mormon. I'm a Heather stan now.
Okay, so I have not watched Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, but I heard about Heather Gay's black eye. Like, people are like, what happened to you? And she wouldn't say. And it was confirmed it was Jen Shah, her friend.
Mm-hmm. Her and friend Jen Shah, yeah.
Punched you in the eye. Would you keep
Dude.
Grit for the public?
Yes.
Because did it happen drunkenly? Like, did she straight up just, like, sock at her?
They were real. Okay, so Jen Shah has a history of anger issues because you see with Reality Von T's what she's like released. It's like Jen Shah yelling at her employees and like it is horrifying. It's like really, really bad. And so I think Heather was like really trying to be a good friend to her. But yeah, she was drunk and she punched her. That's why I feel like I love you too much to send you to the cops. I don't care. Punch me, I guess. That's so mean to say. That's weird to say, but I truly think I would protect you, actually.
No, same. Because I think that we've done it with our other cast members. I think, you know, we've been honest, but not honest about this because we love, like, our friends from our cast and also, like, other cast members from Love is Blind. But there has been, I wouldn't say necessarily involving Deep D and I, but there's been, like, shitty things that have happened. But we know that it's not, sometimes it's just not worth, like, it's not our business to expose type of thing. 100%. And so, and I think we also do it because, like, they're our friends. Like, it would look bad on them. But there is some, like, shit that has gone down across the Love is Blind seasons with, like, cast members within, you know, from different seasons.
We're girls' girls.
Yeah. I think that there is, like, some sort of girls' code.
Yeah. And like, whatever shit we deal with it internally. Like, the public doesn't need to know about that shit, you know?
Yeah. So I think that, if you punched me in the face when you were drunk and having a little moment, I think I would have to, I wouldn't expose it either. I think I would be like, we got to deal with this privately. And like, bitch, you are
we're like, we're canceling
somehow.
The podcast.
Yeah. I'd be like, don't act like the end of it. I was like, I'm a vengeful bitch, but I'll never toss you under publicly.
Dude, what the worst fucking part about the entire situation is I remember this scene when Jen comes into the room after she punched her and she's like, we have to come up with a reason. Like, that's why we brought you. Like, what should we say happened? And we're like, oh, fuck. She's like, Heather's like, I don't know. What did happen? She's like, I don't know. Did you fall? Like, I was just so weird. But that was funny. Man, oh, man. That is reality TV gold, you know? Gold. Wow. Wow, what a season.
I wish sometimes. Well, I was going to say, I feel like sometimes I would like for people to think that we live very, like, content, boring lives. Like, we're just, you know, just like floating away, or we're just floating through life and it's easy. But there's some shit that goes down in the behind the scenes. Like, sometimes I was like, there is a camera here. I feel like we'd be called Vanderdump Rules.
Ma'am. Vanderpump Rules is coming back for my Bravo fans. Please slide in my DM if you want to discuss.
But what a crazy 2024 for not only the Real Housewives, but also Love is Blind. We'll keep you updated if you hear anything more. And obviously, if you hear anything, please send us a DM or comment on our Instagram page at Out of the Pods.
Yes. And make sure you leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Wednesday.
Bye.